Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Goodbye. For his career, by the way, on the Goodyear Hotline in
the
postseason.
We got your face on TV, baby. That's what we said we were going to do. We came through.
That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted, man. I just wanted equality. That's all I wanted, equality.
Hey, y'all are my favorite.
I get up and work out in the morning, so y'all keep me going, man. And Kito, I've been loving him for years. Jay, you that dude. And, Max, come on, man. You know you're second to none, man. You the host with the most.
So, Prime, man, and I'm not even going to use the word flip because it wasn't even a flip. It was simply,
right,
as I said before, they allowed you to come into the household, something that they would not do in the past, to be able to communicate with them so they can understand what is at stake for their son, not only academically and educationally, but also from an athletic standpoint, that he would be put in the best position to succeed on the field as well as off the field with you. How were you able to get that done, though?
Well, honestly, I shoot straight. I don't lie. I don't placate. I don't promise your kids bells and whistles. I'm not going to say you're going to blow up on the NIL. No, man, you got to come in and put in work, do your job, and the rest is history. But you got to work. So I'm a straight shooter. My coaching staff did a phenomenal job on even getting it to that point so that I can't come in and be me. But we just shot it straight, man. We just really ain't promised nothing that we really can't make happen. And the first time I met the kid, I said, you know, if you come in, you're playing both ways, right? I ain't say him. I said, you know, when you come in, you're playing both ways, so you got to get your butt checked. And this kid studied me, man. I mean, he's smart. He's smart. He studied me. Knows my life. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Deion, I'm just saying, when Deion Sanders says that to you, anyone could relate to this. It means something different than if anyone else in the world says that to you.
It does. And the reason that is because it's Prime.
Every roster is 70 to 75% African American, man. Who you think is getting these kids anyway? So the only difference in this scenario is I'm actually the head coach. I'm going to get them along with the staff, but I'm the head coach. I'm not going to say we flipped him. He just wanted to do what he did. He came to our homecoming game. That's the last place you want to let a recruit go to if you don't want to lose him. Come to HBCU homecoming? Oh, my God. When he saw how we got down at Jackson State and how genuine, you know, they were in there for the pregame speech. They was in there for postgame. So they knew how we got down. Then I think Shador, my son, the quarterback, really took him around and showed him around town and everything. And the rest is history, man. But really, the mother, the stepfather, the family, we was 100 with him. We just shot it straight.
Prime, I got to ask you this. You know, as a African-American head coach, somebody with your pedigree at a HBCU, when this goes down, there's a lot of flack from the old guard about NIL and just pay him any amounts of money and all this kind of stuff.
We ain't got no money.
Can you just address all this stupidity out there for me, please?
A million and a half. I heard a million and a half, and I heard Dave Porsche over Barstool. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. You know what that is? That means we kicked your butt. We took what was ours. And now you got to make up an excuse why. A million and a half. I wouldn't pay my son a million and a half. I'm going to coach a guy that's making more than me.
Hey, you were wrong. Much like you just said, Prime, you beat them at their own game. So now the only way to do is try to smear. It's like a smear campaign in politics.
Exactly.
You win,
exactly.
They lose, so now they want to attack your credibility and your character, who you are as a football coach of a major university. I want you to tell me a little bit about Travis's ability on the football field, how he compares to some of those that you've been around in high school and everything else.
See, this kid, you know, it's just like if you saw somebody, you know, dribbling and shooting and doing their thing. He got that hit. And he got that 1-2.
Yeah.
You know that. He got that. When it's in his hands, he's electric. When he's in the secondary, he's aggressive. Good skill set. Technique is adequate. You know, we got to tune in to fine tune it. But I can't wait to see him on grass so I can see really what he is.
You know,
know, he's both ways now and doing a superb job, and I plan on using him that way. But I can't wait to see really what he is. But when I tell you he got that it, he got that it. He got that, when he touched that rock, when he touched that ball, you get up. He got that kind of thing.
So when you DT, Dennis Thurman is your defensive coordinator, and having you and DT teach him, did that factor into his decision to join Jackson State?
Yes, and Kevin Mathis, who played 10 years in the league.
That's right, Kevin Mathis
coach.
Was there too.
Yeah, yeah. Not only did that factor in, but this kid studied me. Like, this kid loves fishing. Like, come on, man, you from the hood, you love to fish. I got you, baby. That's my thing. It was just so many synergies that was unbelievable. And mama don't play. And I just think a lot of people approached it wrong to mama. You know, they went wrong. They went sideways. You know, once you mess up with mama, it's a wrap.
I got to ask you, you know, a lot of people are trying to make these arguments. Well, you know, where is he going to get exposure? And I keep saying, you got most of the exposure in the world right now. I mean, I'm watching everything that you do all the time. What are the benefits to young men being a part of the exposure that you have for their own visibility and their own brands?
Well, every day it's a camera on me right now. Whether you know it or not, every day we shoot a documentary. We shoot a documentary with Barstools, and that airs, I think, going into next season. We've already did year one, but the exposure is crazy. We played on television, I think, every game but one. You got to be crazy if you don't know nothing about Jackson State right now, or you hadn't seen us get down.
Thanks for watching ESPN on YouTube. For live.
I think I'm on. Yeah, I'm on. Should be on. Welcome. Hear that? Welcome to another Black African American dialogue on BTR. Just to give a program update, we'll be on YouTube next week. Won't be on BTR no more. This is the last show on BTR. I may do a show this weekend. A couple of shows this week, I don't know. For this last time on BTR, we'll be having a YouTube channel. We'll have a conference call that people can come on, and we'll get in on YouTube. So this is the last show on BTR. It's been fun, BTR, but I'm gone. Try BTR just to, you know, test myself out, get my feet wet. This is the first platform that I came on. When I came on social media, first platform I ever joined. So I thought, you know, start back up again. Why not deal with a platform where you got to start from? So we'll be on YouTube next week and with an open line. But this show, you can still call. Let me see what the number is. You can call. (563) 99 34 76 to get in the conversation. The title of the show is basically, where does our struggles start from in the Black African American community? Well, the actual title of the show, amongst other topics that I will be discussing, is the reasons we have struggles in the Black African American community. Now, when I talk about that, I'm not going to exclude myself. I kind of put myself in the group. I don't separate myself from the group. You mean what part of the group you are? Well, Black African American group. Some people call us Negro. Some people call us colored. I don't know. Some people just call us, I don't know nowadays, Black, African-American. I call myself Black, African-American, and I think I can define that by factual measurement, a factual political measurement. I can define and identify myself in this country. we'll be talking about that. I'll be giving my factual conclusions. How our struggles begin and where did it end. But I play the audio for you. And let me see if I can get the... let's see here. Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter decides to go to Jacksonville State University, which is the HBCU. He is the number two overall pick when it comes to high school seniors leaving high school to go to play college football. Number two in the country. He decides to go to a HBCU. He was recruited by Alabama. He was recruited by predominantly white institutions. And he turned them down. Big controversy. He said, hey, the reason why this black student is going to a HBCU is because they paid him $1.5 million. The black people are criminals. They're doing bad. Remember, bad is black. They're doing something crooked. They paid his mother off. Deion Sanders says in that clip, I wouldn't even pay my son $1.5 million to play college football. No pressure. The problem is people are upset that we're on a movement right now. I applaud Stephen A. Jackson. I applaud ESPN. I applaud a lot of people. I applaud Chris Paul for advertising HBCUs in the media, positive advertising. Similar to what Bill Cosby was trying to do back in the late 80s, early 90s. People are starting to come around and say, 75% of basketball teams, well, let's just stay with football. Football, and for the most part, basketball, is black African-American male. People are starting to take that stock, our stock, in actually helping HBCUs out. The HBCUs are going to be on TV soon, and they're going to start making more money. You know, it notices me that predominantly white institutions, they tell black students, you're going to come here, and we're going to teach you how to be a man. They always say that, well, we teach these inner-city guys, and we teach them how to be a man because they figure they don't have no father, so the coaches have to be a father figure for them, a father figure. You learn lessons in football. It's a violent sport, and you're teaching them about life. Please stop that. But they say that, and you can. I mean, you can learn lessons for anything. But this is what they say, and no one ever picked up on that. Oh, and some of the athletes, man, this coach, man, he's like a dad to me. You know, we teach these guys life skills. You have to teach black African-American men from the inner city life skills and at the same time putting their body at risk. Brain damage, physical labor, injuries that they can come up for, and you're just going to talk, let's bring this back home. Go to a school. If you're nice, if the numbers are nice, the NFL is going to get you. They're saying that you can't play with the competition good. The eyes are going to be on. They're going to be on Mr. Hunter. See, Travis Hunter The eyes are going to be on him. They also, look, they attacked the mother, the black mother. They said the black mother was doing something. Deion Sanders said they must have upset her. This is a turning point. See, people are taking an initiative to do something. Going against the grain. Saying, you know what? I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm just going to go ahead and just do that because I want to help my people out. That young man is doing a good job. That young man probably was convinced by Chris Paul, Deion Sanders, convinced about his history of his people in this country. And he did a manly thing, trying to make a change. So that's a good thing. It's amazing how they attacked that Martin family, and it was always something devious. When the white coaches for many years, and the colleges, university was just giving big time money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to get kids on campus. And it's still going on today. The FBI tried to come and stop it. It's going on. It is what it is. You didn't get this one. So I'm going to be following Travis Hunter throughout his college career. Deion Sanders says that Jacksonville State was on TV almost every game last year. Took him to the title last year. I mean, he's the man. It's kind of interesting. I didn't know Deion Sanders' son was the quarterback of the football team. I hope there's no favoritism there. But anyway. But, yeah, tonight's show. Tonight's show was a little bit late. I'm a busy man. Supposed to start at 9 o'clock. Next week, it'll be on time. But I'm a busy black African-American man. Got tied up, but I still said I wanted to do a show tonight and get something off my chest. And, you know, I'm going to get straight to the point. I noticed something on social media that really interests me. People agree that there's a pool of black African-American people in this country. People mostly agree that they're a group, even though they contradict themselves and say, well, you got to worry about yourself, family, but they talk about black people. They use the terminology black people. They use the terminology black folk, the black community. They consider themselves as a black person, and they speak about their community. So it's a sense of people know where there's a different group of people that's different. Well, I'm saying there's a group of people that's different than other groups of people in this country. And when we just start discussing the black African-American community and black African-American people come on social media and they start talking about it and dialoguing about it and debating about it and start arguing about it, they always argue about this point. Why is the black African-American community in the current condition it is in now as a pool of people? Community pool, same thing. I'm saying two things in the same sentence. But as a pool, how do we get a lot of young males are glorifying the gangster life? Now, you know you have college coaches and NFL coaches and other sports players, predominantly white people too, using the word gangster describe athletes now. Did you notice that? I don't even like that. That don't come on national TV, get in front of the camera, and say someone game is gangster. Yeah, I said his game is despite all of that. What are the real reasons for this? Some of the reasons you'll say is I hear because we adopted white people's traditions and culture. That's why we have the high crime rate. That's why we have mass incarceration. That's why our population is dropped. That's why as a pool, we're at the bottom of all other groups. They say, you took prayer out of school. That's why. We used to be mostly Christian, and then now people don't go to church no more, and they're sinners. That's why. People will also say, what other things I heard, the welfare system. The government, Lyndon Johnson, the Democratic Party, is just give up people welfare, and they rant the fathers out of the home. They say single parenting, single motherhood. Households that are, 70% of the households only have one parent in them. It didn't used to be that. Like I said, some people say this. The breakdown of the family. Some say it's the new abortion laws. Black women started getting abortion. So many things. I heard the other day on the show that Black African American people still have an evil spirit in them that's passed down from generation to generation. And they get this evil spirit from their grandfathers and grandmothers who were on the slave ships that were a part of the Atlantic slave trade. I heard that. That's almost calling someone this is an affiliate person. Whatever. Anybody else? Whatever reasons out there. Can you think of any? Think of any other reasons. Why did they say when? I don't know. Lack of manhood. Lack of fathers in the house. But let's get this straight. It's not a lot to talk. I'm not going to be on too much tonight. Let's just talk about this fact. You can listen to all the dialogue all you want. It comes to keep it plain and simple. When people use the argument that fathers are not in the home, that's why the community is messed up. Well, you know the real reason for that, don't you? You know what the real reason. The real reason, the root reason, the start, the initiating point of all of our problems is the Black African-American male historically was hindered economically in this capitalist society. It starts there. You hinder him in policies, procedures, laws, executive order. You hurt him historically in this country. Once you do that, everything that you're talking about will follow. It's just that simple. A man cannot go a around his family, around his wife, around his children every day and have no way of getting any money, they're not going to want him. That's just like nature in any society. In any, I say, for the most part, almost every culture is like that. So if you take the economics from him, then how can he support his family? If you want the black African-American male to start creating more families that are more structured, you're going to have to give him a good income first. He's going to have the opportunity to get a good income first. He's going to have to do it. Historically, as a pool of men, I'm not talking about George Washington Carver. I'm not talking about Booker T. Washington and his students. I'm talking about the pool of black people. Remember, when you bring that up in this conversation, look at the 200,000 black people that were a part of the Union Army or part of the Union back then. The states who did not, the states who were not part of Confederate states. They were free blacks. Look how well they were doing. No, that was 200,000 out of 4 million people. You're talking about a tiny group. We're talking about the pool of us were held back. And when you do that, when you hold them back, it's going to affect the generations in the future. It's just the fact. It happens all the time. Back in the day when the slave owner, when he was on his deathbed, he signed his wealth down to his children. And those children carried on that wealth and built something for them. But when the father died or the mother died, they had something to stand on. It was passed down. Therefore, when the children, after the children bury their parents, they can go back to the home and they're not in a hardship. And their children won't be in a hardship. They have something to build upon. So to say what your grandparents did in the past had zero effect on you now, that's just not necessarily true. If so, you have to stop. I mean, you have to stop saying what people can pass down. I mean, what you look at. See, people pick and choose. When it comes to black people, they changed the rules of the game. History affects all of us. But when you say slavery affects the group of black people now, no, that is impossible. Other groups get bills passed for them. When you say black people need reparations, black African-American people need reparations, oh, no, that's racist. They changed the rules quick. Put a job bill initiative for black African-American males, an initiative to hire them, go in our heart and go, take an initiative to hire them. No, that's racist. But they have work visas for people, other groups of people, and they should. Everybody, listen, every bill that the country passed, they should have. Only thing I'm saying is, when we want something special for us, they change the rules and say, no, we can't do that. It's all your fault. But other groups ask the government to pass certain bills to help them out. I was talking to a person today And the first thing the person says, look at the other groups, why they can't do it. That's a white supremacist talking point. Where did you get that talk as a black? You know your history. Why would you ever say that? Think about it, guys. Someone knows their black African-American history, and they're talking about the poor black people, and they tell you other groups of people, the Chinese, and all these people come over here, and they do it while we can. That person is crazy, politically crazy. I mean, not saying that they're, you know, they're going to do anything, but politically, the way they think about their people, they don't know anything. They're ignorant. How can you contrast and compare us to them when they have a totally different history and lineage in this country? They have a different starting point, that people started differently. And if they did start off a certain way, somebody said someone had to individually claim something. People individually claim something. But they got theirs. Some people say, hey, the reason why they got theirs is because they have another country around the world that's backing them. For instance, they give Asians something, they got the Asian countries backing them. If they give African immigrants something, they got African countries backing the African immigrants. If they give the Latino community, they got Latino countries backing all Latinos in America. We as African Americans really have no country backing us. This is the only thing we have, and that's why I call myself a black African, the last key word, black African American. Fought in every war we did. This is all we have. This is what we help create. It's part of it. It's diminishing it. All the reason starts with attacking the male's income. He attacked his mind. You know, people belittle people a lot. And I have a picture on the BTR. I saw it in a chat room. And you see two white men. And there's two black men on the picture. And they're in pairs. Two white men, you know, climbing up a tree. One white man is helping another white man up the tree. And on the other side of the tree, you see a black man actually pulling down a black man from the tree. Of course, both men are trying to climb a tree. Black man is not letting his black brother achieve the goal and try to pull him back, holding him back. A white man is helping his brother up the tree, and he's lifting him up. And I guess that's supposed to illustrate. But the worst people that bring black people down, it's not even the worst. All of us bring ourselves down. If someone comes online and says the federal government, they should help black men get jobs. They should have an initiative to help black contractors get more contracts in this infrastructure bill. Hire more black African-American males in this infrastructure bill. Monitor it, and you can bring a lot of black males in the middle class. When someone makes that statement and says, well, let's talk about it, can that be done? Can we push the black caucus to do it? Can we get a monitoring system? Someone comes behind that and says, hold up, stop. Let's talk about how black men don't do this or don't do that on jobs. That person is holding black people back. I went to L.A. And I asked somebody, I said, why is the L.A. homeless people, the population of L.A. is a melting pot. I don't care if it's South Central. I'm just talking about L.A. Just the city of L.A. Forget the different wars. Forget all that. The city of L.A., Skid Row, all of that. Why is most of the homeless black African-American? This is what I got back. One is because the location of L.A. It's warm in L.A. because a lot of homeless is out. And three, this is the drum roll, because homeless people want to be homeless. The black people, this is what they're telling me. They want to be homeless. No. See, that's holding down your people when you say that. No, the fact of the matter is, L.A. is a melting pot with a lot of different races of people. The reason why L.A.'s homeless is majority black, because that's a microcosm of how black people are hurting in this country. The person did not say they're homeless because they dealing with alcohol or drug addiction. They're dealing with anxiety and depression. They're dealing with bipolar. The person told me the reason why black people are out there is somehow they want to be out there. That's upsetting. That person doesn't know nothing about people's struggles and endeavors. That's sad, pitiful. That's scary to talk to somebody like that, bro. What are you people doing? Like, they'll say, telling people how, I guess what they should talk, and you can talk any way you want to on social media, but you have to ask yourself sometimes these questions. Where did that come from? How does someone try to talk about black people unemployed, black males unemployment, and the first thing people are going to talk about, but you have to try to change the way they eat at their table before they get jobs. Then you come and you say, well, black people need jobs, and it might slow down the crime rate. No, that's not going to slow down the crime rate. Remember, when it comes to black folk, the rules change. Every society says if the unemployment goes down, crime rate goes up. If people got more jobs and are working, crime rate goes down. In the black African-American community, if you employ black African-American males with good paying jobs, the crime rate is going to go down. Now, some people say, no, don't say that. Once again, they changed the rules on us. I was told when I say that here locally, like, if 1,000 young black men from 18, from graduate from high school, from 18 to 35, from 18 to 35, if they create 1,000 jobs and 1,000 brothers make $45 an hour at the Port of Baltimore, just as though Joe Biden says, for about 5 years or more, crime was going to go down somewhat in Baltimore City. I believe it's going to go down somewhat in Baltimore City. Just on 1,000 jobs of black African-American men. From now, these jobs are hostile. But that this, someone hears that and says, watch, the rules change. No, that's not going to stop crime because black African-American males, look, I'm going to show you this rapper. This rapper, see, he got money and he's still gangbanging. That person is pulling black men down by their speech. How can you correlate a hip-hop star making money and say, look at this guy, an ordinary average black male, no matter what conditions he is, whether he is a bookworm, whether he's graduating from college, whether he's a freshman in college, whether he just graduated from high school and thinking about going and do something illegal to make some money, or if he's in doing something illegal to make money, he's thinking about getting out of it, or if he's out of it thinking about getting back in it, he may say, no, I may get this job. I don't know. The preacher boy that needs a job at your Sunday school, he may qualify. All black males, no matter what the thing is. Remember, Joe Biden has two women present the infrastructure bill to us on the day of signing. One is a Caucasian woman, white woman, as we would call her, good skills. She deserves everything she has. She's an ex-offender, and she's a welder. She's going to get that job. She's telling you, I'm just going by what they say. You don't have no time to hear that. That's holding black people down and back. When someone is saying, yeah, yeah, the Republican Party in the old days always fought for black African-American people to get equality. How? You can't discriminate them. Civil Rights Act. Can't discriminate them. And on no case in the world, not race, color, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation, race, all that good stuff. And that was supposed to protect you in the government jobs and in the private institution. The private institution could not do it. They say, we're going to have to force these people. The only way that you're going to have people to change, you're going to have to change the law. Hillary Clinton says it all the time. Change the law. They don't want to make no specific laws for black African American men or our people because they know it's going to be a change. And that law is going to have to be enforced. That's why you never hate any individual, not even in a group. You have to ask yourself, as a black African-American pool of voters, why are we still voting in people who at the end of the day, it's not really, really benefiting us directly? Indirect benefits, you don't stand very well. You don't feel them. Doesn't change your life. The real reason is black male unemployment historically in this country. This is the reason why the abortion rate is high in the black African-American community. This is the reason why the crime rate is high in the black African-American community. This is the reason why small groups of male for decades in this country had to sell something illegal in this country to make money. This is the reason why you have drug abuse and alcoholism. This is the reason why you just have crime in our neighborhoods. I mean, we can go and take it back. First thing they picked on was the male's mind, the black male's mind and his body and his money. So, guys, I don't think that there was a time where anyone stopped slaves while, you know, slaves from marrying. They used to jump over a broomstick. It was thought that they couldn't marry white women. Black man couldn't marry a black woman in some states. But they let slaves marry. Sometimes they would separate husband and wife. They didn't care, but they let people marry. So when a black man was married back in the past, what was his conditions? Well, obviously he was still fighting for his rights. He was still suffering, even though he had his family. He was working, but obviously he was not working. He was not working at a fair wage. You know that. So right there, they was holding him back. Time goes on, you free the slave. People say, well, we don't have any slaves no more. But it's the Industrial Revolution. Things in this Industrial Revolution. Parts are not gone. Machines can do all the work. We need to start sending people to school so they can work in the factories. And when a lot of machines going to be doing work, you got to be smart to make these machines. You know, we can't teach them. This is a new industry. And that's why the Caucasians start making lots of money. Needed less slaves. So that they say, okay, well, we're going to work. More machines are going to be doing the job. You know, it's, you know, you don't have to, you know, I mean, a construction worker, they make a lot of money. You know, if you have a jackhammer, even if you're dealing with a tractor, your body, and your body is always moving, and it's physical on the job. But if you're able to use those tools, you work smarter and not harder. So it's physical work, but the machines make you do less physical work than our grandparents did before the Industrial Revolution. We had about, what, 250 years before the Industrial Revolution even started? So that's a hard labor work, right? Hard work. So Civil War is over. We get our freedom, Industrial Revolution. They keep us out of the private industry. Private industry brought in the Industrial Revolution. They kept us out of the private industry. For the most part, stop, don't stop. When you start bringing up little groups of here and there that were successful back then, you got that from the, I don't know where you get that from. You got that from some people who don't like black people, who try to steer you and guide and says, oh, no, black person, don't you think of history like this. This is, I want you to think of it like this. No, they're trying to change your perception and your reality. Industrial Revolution, white people started making money, shunning black men out of private industry. Let me tell you one thing. There's a lot of educated black African-Americans and smart, intelligent, and they work hard. A lot of them work for the government. Fox News, conservatives, white wingers, they will say black African-Americans disproportionately are employed by the federal government. Why? Because, listen, the federal government and even local and state governments, when you are employed by them, you have what you call, just a little bit, more job security versus a private institution. Okay? When you work for government agencies, it's a bureaucracy. It takes a bureaucracy to get you fired or terminated. You just can't let nobody go. In the private industry, they can fire you when they want, especially when you're not on a contract. They can fire you when they want. But this is the thing. And there's a trade-off. In the government positions, where a lot of black people, a lot of, and remember, a lot of middle-class blacks, they're employed by the government. Well, I'm not, I don't know what the percentage, but I know a lot of them. When you working with the government, you can increase your salary, but there's no like type of bonuses for you. They keep you locked in at a GS scale. So your job security is good. But you can't make a big, you can't be a lot of money in the government. So that's the trade-off. Let's go with the private business. Private business can promise you. They can fire you anytime they want. But in the private industry, you have a lot of innovation. The private industry has a lot of money to spend on new products. Each individual company, anyway, a lot of money. You can make a lot of money, but they can fire you anytime they want. You can make a lot of money in the private industry, but they can get rid of you. Now, in the private industry, if a private industry hires someone and helps, well, they hire someone to get them help and make a product. Well, it's just like this. Once you start knowing the little secret ingredients of that company, you can save your money. You know, they'll have you sign papers and say, you better not tell our secrets. So what we're going to do is have you sign this non-disclosure agreement. And it says for 5 years after you leave this company, you can't be our competition. Now, why would private industries do that? Because they know it's very important. Because when you work for the private industry, you can work, get skills, leave that company, and become your old employer's competition. That's why, for the most part, they keep black African Americans out. Another reason why they keep black African-Americans out traditionally and historically in the private industry is because they just don't like working around you. They rather work around immigrants than black African-Americans for the most part. I'm talking about for these major companies. Think about it. If you wipe away all the government jobs employment, that employs black African-American people, I've heard this saying. They say that we'd probably be in Jim Crow. Best way to start a business for any black person in this country, especially if your family doesn't have money. And I know most of the people, I mean, I've heard a lot of people come on the Internet say they was rich as I don't know what, and they be lying. They don't got no money. They talk all this, whatever it is. They don't have it. Best way and the smartest way for any black African-American person to start a business is, since you don't have no money, get your education, get a skill, and go work for a private institution. Whether it's black or white, work there, gain skills. Every time you get up and you go in there every morning, well, I don't care what company, have a plan, have a goal to better yourself. Let them send you to school, or every time you're in there, think of, oh, I can do this better, or how I can do this better. You save your money up for 5 to 10 years in that industry. Don't have to be with the same company. Can be that industry. And you take that money that you save over the years, and you start your business. That is the best, safest way. And it's good to start with a private industry. That's where the innovation is. So that's why I was sort of there to keep you out. See, affirmative action, a lot of that, I guess, that goes on to the federal government, too. People need to be protected out here. And that's what people don't realize. All of us need to be protected. I think about my children in the future, sons, daughters. I think about them in the future. That's going on for 2 hours. I'm going to end this up in 3 minutes. Basically, what I wanted to say tonight is that's the root cause, guys, of all our problems. The root cause of all our problems is black male unemployment, historically. Just look at what the black males say. Oh, I need money, money in the hip-hop. There ain't no society. I mean, I understand what people are talking about. I was watching, and I was I saw this on, I wasn't even watching it. Think Like a Man, Steve Harvey. For many moons, I never saw that show. And on that show there, I think she was on a treadmill, and I think Steve Harvey says, well, if a man doesn't make six figures, no, if you make six figures, he needs to make six figures. That's what it was all about. And I said, wow. Really? And I said, you know what? I have nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you why. Because my nature. Now, it could happen to me. I mean, I could be in a relationship where a woman makes more than me. Because I'm a type of man like that. I still walk around like a man. But for the most part, she's not going to like you. She's not going to like you. I don't care, y'all. Look, if she makes 100, six figures, 100, you better be making like 90, no less than 85,000. You can't be making, she's making 100 and you making like 50,000. She's not going to deal with you. And you said the pick, it just is not her nature to deal with you. She's not. She's not by nature. She's going to look for someone who she thinks that can secure her. I mean, if she's making more than you, you got to make sure, like, look, come to her with this notion. Listen, I know you have more than me, but I need you for nothing. And I can walk out your life anytime I want. Now love me or leave me alone. That's only the other 2 years I come with. Other than that, most women is not going to deal with you. So watch this. And people know that. And guess what? They use it on you. Handle the black male economically and the family, and then his woman is going to, what? That's what you said now. Every single thing that you try to implement. And I kind of agree with this. Like, if you try to implement feminism on the black African-American community, it's not going to work real good. Because, see, you had a lot of Caucasian males who had superiority in this country. They dictated the environment of this country. So they the one that says women couldn't work. White man dictate everything. They still, 80% of them still pass the laws. So when the white woman would graduate from these big colleges, she would got to go to the corporate world. She would get harassed. So she says, oh, no, I got my college degree. My father sent me to school. I got to pay my student loans off. I got to get this job. And when I get this job, these guys harassing me. And do you have a women right to work bill? And you should. I mean, women have been held back, job salaries and stuff like that. But you can do that. But this is the thing. Nature doesn't go anywhere. She's going to go and try to attract a man that she still feels that can secure her. She wants someone on her, not on her legal playing field at this time. So you can't tell somebody to say, well, you guys need to go with nature. But money is a bad construct. The woman has more money. Her nature is not going to change. She's still going to want someone to make more to her, regardless of how she looks. And then she's not going to let someone who makes less than her, she makes 100, he makes 45, she's not going to let that man come and tell her really what to do. I'm just sorry. It's not. That's why a married man told me that he makes sure he pays his mortgage. I said, why? Both of y'all work. She don't put a percentage? No, I pay it because I'm the man. Okay. And God says to me that he understands why women should submit to people, men who make less money. Contradiction in one sentence, and he doesn't even understand it. That's pitiful. That's pitiful as shit. Ain't no black African American woman gonna do it. It's just not. It's just not gonna happen. Fight for your black African American men to get jobs. In this infrastructure bill, when it comes to the federal government, they give it away all the time. So I will be on YouTube, StreamYard. That's going to be another big platform. See y'all then.